Evening and welcome to Smart Technology Association webinar series. My name is Helena Riley. I'd like to welcome you all and thank you so much for being with us tonight and sharing your energy. We have a really wonderful discussion that we're going to explore. And before we do, with John and Jules Renner, who are with us tonight, welcome, John and Jules.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. And before we begin, we will take a couple of seconds just to set up the grid. And you can see we have an angel on the screen. So we can visualize the interconnection of all energy, the transformational aspect of Sacred Scalar, and the initiation of a new grid of profound transformation. I'd like you to take a few deep breaths. And as we share this energy throughout the planets, it might be wise to select one conscious thought for this evening for yourself. Breathe deeply and thank you. And tonight we'll be talking to John and Jules Renner. Robert Loy is on the line. Welcome, Robert. And we have people from several different countries. I can see Australia. Welcome, Elise Harms. We have someone from Ireland. We're covering the globe here with Sacred Scalar. We have Patricia Al-Wahabi, who is in Dubai, and we have several Canadians, so welcome. It's nice to have that broader reach. And we'll be talking to John and Jules about entrainment and transformation and the upliftment or the changes that occurred in their family. And it will be a group participation sort of discussion, and then we will be moving on to the meditation with the Sacred Scalar Theta Love Frequencies, the very new version. So I was talking to John and Jules. I'm not sure who wants to speak first, but I think I'll start with Jules. Since we had some profound conversation about some changes that she encountered and went through as the energy of the scalar energy imbued her home environment, shifting her consciousness and allowing her to make some changes that she's been thinking about for a while. So, Jules, not to put you, are you still there?
I'm here.
Good, excellent. So, what made you say yes when you heard about the scalar technology? How did that become a yes, I want to go through that process, if you remember?
Yeah, I do. And I've always been interested. I'm a science person. And so the technology was of interest. But it was really John that said, we've got to do it. Like, he didn't even really ask me. It was something like, we're going to do this. This is good. And so it was more of John really pushing it. I was excited about it. But John was the one that just felt it and knew that it was the way for us to go.
Okay, so what did you notice first? And that's, I do remember that. So he said yes, and you, and it was the Rejuvenation Cube, so it was about May of 2000, I believe, 2010.
Yes.
And what did you begin to notice in your home environment and in your own psychological process? What were the first things that you began to see?
I think probably the first thing I started noticing was just an awareness to my emotions, my thought patterns, and, you know, doing the technology along with, you know, learning as well, because I was taking classes through Humanity and Unity and with Sai Ma. So a combination of everything, it just really opened me up to truly be aware of how my thoughts were affecting me, how my thoughts, my emotions were affecting me. And it wasn't just how they were affecting me and how I felt, but even within my physical body and having an awareness as to how my choices affected me physically. So just being on, it was almost as if I became the observer of everything at every moment. And at first it was maybe a little bit overwhelming. It was like too much awareness, but it was...
Right, part of you would rather be just a little more asleep. It's true,
right.
When suddenly...
And all of a sudden, everything, like, I was just aware of so much. I was aware of how I was affecting others. I was aware of how they were affecting me. I mean, it was just this huge just awareness, and it was a lot of information to process.
That can be really overwhelming, actually. And so how did you deal with that?
I just kept going.
You went out a lot?
Not really.
No. I don't know. I would probably, you know, John would probably say I would probably go into shutdown for a little bit, you know, where I would have time to process things because I knew that there were things, you know, that I was being triggered with. And so if I was being triggered, I knew that there were things that needed to transform. So then it was a matter, okay, I have the awareness. Now, how am I going to transform it, and what am I going to transform it into? So, I mean, there were many times I didn't transfer correctly, so, of course, I got to do the chance to do it over and over and over again. But I think there are times where I just get still and I get quiet when I feel like I'm processing a lot, especially if I know that it's really important.
Yes, that sort of cocooning, the need to go within and check inside.
Right. And then it's just more, I almost kind of withdraw from my family a little bit, where I'm not as talkative because I just feel like I'm really processing everything, not only mentally and emotionally, but almost physically as well. So I just, you know, it may last for 24 hours. It could last for, you know, 6 hours or 72 hours, depending on what it is. But I also became aware of the fact that I really needed to take time for myself to work through that.
Yes, that's a very important distinction, actually. I was observing that in myself today, that there are times when, because it's like a cellular quantum shift in the entire body shift and psyche, and what I'm observing in you as well is that this is common for everyone listening. Because what often happens is peeling off the layers, we're getting some static, some the layers of the emotional body. And when you do that, there can be a detox or a cleanse. And it's important to get that silence to process what that might be. Okay, so where did that bring you to in your transformational space, Jules? Because I feel as though, the other thing is, I'm so sorry, I forgot to introduce you. We got a little thrown off here. That John and Jules have two children. Julian is 9 years old, and Elizabeth and it's a blended family, and Elizabeth is 21 years old and a college student. So they're not only affecting themselves, but they see the direct impact on those, their loved ones, those that they're intimate with. So this is a real, they're very graciously allowing us into their home tonight. They're very graciously sharing what's changing. So how did it begin to impact as you went inside and integrated? Then what did you start to notice on the outside?
Okay, on the outside. I guess I felt like, I'm feeling maybe a greater sense of freedom in that I am supported in the transformations that are going on. And I have an intimate understanding that this is the time for that. This is the time for transformation. This is the time for me to get as much done as I possibly can. So I feel supported with the technology to support the frequency that is coming in to my physicality and into my own electromagnetic grid. So I feel supported in that way. So therefore, I feel almost a little bit more free and willing to work with all the challenges that come up. As soon as something comes up, I'm willing to work with it.
I like that. And would you say that when it does come up or get stimulated, but it doesn't quite seem as challenging as it might have in the past? Has it shifted your perception of the event?
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
It does, because I feel as if I have greater clarity. I have greater clarity on who I am, and almost like, not really a sense of purpose, but kind of, but I just know that I'm here to transform, and so I'm willing to do whatever it is that I need to do.
Cool, that's really beautiful, actually. So it's an awareness of, this time is about that. This time is about grasping the opportunity to shift and change and transform ourselves and each other and sort of enjoy, it's time to kind of enjoy that and open the space up in the cells. So that's a beautiful way to say it. And how would you say it's transformed your relationships, Jules?
Well, either the relationships are enhanced or the relationships diminish. So
secret scalar stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Go
so
ahead.
It's more like I'm becoming more aware and using, I have, because of the clarity, I can discern. I can discern what is serving me and what is not serving me. And so when I know that there's a relationship that would serve me and I'm being triggered by it, then I know that there's some transformation that needs to be done. And then I've also been working on some relationships where I know now that they're just, you know, the time has passed and the relationships that don't serve me anymore because we're at energetically different levels.
Never the twain shall meet. You can't go backwards or align with that energetic field. And we talked about entrainment. And as we all know, we entrain in relationships. And there is a point where it's an actual energetic mismatch, even if it has been a significant other, whether it was, you know, a parent or whatever the relationship might have been, a teacher. And that was one thing that you brought home to me when we talked about it on Sunday was in the consistent entrainment with the scalar frequencies and the energies, you had lifted yourself into a space, which you called the choiceless choice, where certain things were very clear. There was really no choice to be made. It was that you were not resonating. The law of attraction had stopped operating. So one of the things that we want people to understand is that that is truly how the technologies work in the environment, is as you entrain with them, whether it's in a family environment or in your office or you're alone, as you entrain with the frequencies, there's a consistent upliftment into another level. And as that becomes your new home, it releases a lot of things that are at a lower vibratory rate. And that's where everything begins to fall away in the sense of spaciousness that our friend Jules is explaining. And that, of course, has a ripple effect on every relationship that you're in, on your work. And things can naturally, you're going to see it differently. So some relationships might change in structure because your frequency and your ability to match energies no longer exists. And that, and it's always for your positive movement ahead. And so, of course, that's what Jules is speaking about is, and there can also be shifts in work or perception about work or how you do work. I think that John also has a very interesting experience in that because when he started as well, he started to also have some of the opening of the third eye experiences. His reality, his perception of reality began to shift. So, John, would you like to talk about that and also what you're noticing about that in terms of how it's affecting your reality?
Well, I think a lot of the shift has to do certainly with the frequencies of the theta frequencies and the frequencies just from the rejuvenation tube. And also the theta healing work that we were doing also actually kind of pushed me to really kind of experiment and really to trust what I was seeing. What I experienced and what I see is how so very supported I am in the work that I'm doing. You know, angels, ascended masters, guardian angels. I mean, it's a very, very crowded place. but everybody is there really, you know, at a moment's notice. But it's very calming and it's more substantial now. You know, it's become my reality.
That's a nice reality. And they are really on call, actually. So that can create a massive shift when you're able to listen and respond to guidance in this way, which is, you know, we've come to understand over the years that although we do have some focused technologies now, that the real impact is in these higher centers evolving, pineal, pituitary, et cetera, and third eye opening. So that's a very profound transformation, John. I'm sure you're aware of that. However you reach that space, because at that point, you're living in a different reality than most of the planet, right?
Yes.
So, how's that experience for you?
How's it working for me? Yeah. I have a level of I think one of the energies that I struggle with is the energy of frustration, and I'm really frustrated with life on the planet. When I've shifted into kind of having the ability to listen, having the ability to see, and to kind of broaden my view, it gives me a much more patient and peaceful outlook on how things are going to unfold or how things are unfolding. And that's really kind of shifted the way that I look at the world. So it's really helped me to deal with the frustration and to recognize that, you know, we truly are moving into something greater than what we've been experiencing up to this date.
Yes, and yet I think we all share that feeling of frustration with life on the planet, and that's why we're forming the conscious tribe and the scalar tribe, of course, throughout the planet. Because despite our individual attempts, I think many of us in this group have had the feeling that it's not as successful, that we're not being quite heard, and that's because, you know, when you begin to interact with beings on the level that you're speaking of, there's a huge gap, and it's not an easy transition. I want to make that point that, and Bob will probably make some comments as well on this, that given that because the density became so intense, according to our research, that 6,000 years ago, everyone's third eye shut down, and we've been, so if you can imagine, we're walking around like kittens with their eyes permanently shut, and we are not in communication with soul, spirit, and all of those assisting. So it's actually, but my guess is that almost everyone in this group, or everyone as a child, was psychically completely open, which is why we're here tonight. That's my guess. Were you open as a child, John? Like, do you remember having weird experiences? Experiences with people that were weird, I mean.
I think from an observational standpoint, as far as being kind of the observer of the world around me,
yes.
My observations were probably a lot deeper than the years, you know.
Yes.
Old, my observations.
Yes.
Was quite a bit different. Yeah, I can still remember my father. I think I was Julian's age. I think I was 10, and I was having a conversation. My father looked at me and goes, "You think too much."
Exactly. With this, I bet that everyone in this group, and there's a lot of pain being in that role, actually, and frustration, because suddenly you realize that your reality isn't really being reflected by the people around you, and you're probably not in their club on a few different levels, right?
Right.
You're not really in the association. And so the frustration, and also it can result in some level of emotional abandonment, just feeling that separate or distinct. And I only point this out because the purpose of this group is becoming more and more clear to me, to bring together the people that were in this different state of consciousness and quickly awaken them. Like John and Jules and Julian and Elizabeth had the technology only for about, I think, about a year and a half. Wow, time is really weird. It's really strange now. But they've had and yet their transformation to me is so obvious. First of all, when I spoke with you, it does seem as though, despite all the kidding around, that you really are a very, very happy family and really supporting each other in growth harmoniously and in the entrainment, because there are times when this zigzag shifting can really put a lot of stress, and that's what I'm attempting to point out, on our bodies, on our minds, and on our family units, or however we're connected to, our work partners, because we're going through these, I mean, we see it in our group here, we're going through these rapid changes, so your neurons start firing, and suddenly you get this insight, or you start writing a book all night, or whatever, you know, your thing is, or you get sick for 3 days, but the changes can involve stress. I really want to make that point clear. On the other side of the stress, there can be amazing bliss. But we just want to end sometimes floating through it or not taking it too seriously is the best thing to do. Because the nature, and I think I'm going to ask both of you if you've observed this, the nature with the sacred scalar is to trust and to just let go, because it also moves so fast. The stuff is gone. And it's, I think we talked about this on Sunday night, that it's like it seems so clear then it was an illusion that you were holding, because it's gone all of a sudden. So suddenly you have this big issue, and then it's gone. So I want to ask if either of you have noticed that.
Yeah. Well, Helena, you and I talked quite a bit about my relationship with my mother. And it was something that I really, really tried to get a grip on for years and years. I mean, since before Julian was born, and Julian is 9. And I physically would get ill after having a conversation with her on the phone. She does not live in my state. She's a couple states away. It's still driving distance.
Metaphorically or physically? No. She's about 3 states down.
Yeah. Still driving distance, so.
We can still reach her, though.
Yeah, she can still reach me. So I knew something like had to shift within me, because I was really getting, it was embarrassingly, I would get sick every single time. I mean, my clients would even joke about, oh, did you talk to your mom today? Because I would start coughing. And I had the exact same cough every single time. It was just, it was not good. And I continued, I really tried to work on things, emotionally, mentally, trying to transform it. And really, it didn't really stick until, I'm still going through the transformation right now, but it was just this past Christmas where I just finally said no. And I've actually held to that. And I'm not feeling the guilt anymore, and I'm not feeling all of the emotions that I generally feel. And even though my mind, you know, the way I've been brought up and the rules I've been taught by society and by religion and so forth to honor thy mother and father, so I would feel guilty for saying no to her. And now it's like I feel like I feel stronger. I feel like I'm supported in saying no. And even though my mind, you know, goes through this patterning of behavior that I've been taught, I look to see how my body feels. And my body feels free. But I am not, you know, I don't go through constipation. I'm not coughing. I don't feel bad. I actually have more energy. I feel like I'm even a better mother to my son. And I look at that and I'm like, wow, well, maybe, you know, me putting separation here has been a good thing. But I truly feel supported with the technology. I feel supported in this higher vibration that I'm creating for myself. And I feel strong and I feel more courageous with making these decisions.
That's incredible. And I actually noticed that when we were talking, we had talked about the technology helps you to not regress.
Yes.
Do you want to comment on that? Yeah.
So The first time I met Ma was, I don't know, I think it was maybe in 2008 by Ma. I had just a wonderful, wonderful experience and was just high, just blissful. And we had traveled, John and I and some friends had traveled to go meet her. And when we came home, I mean, it was probably within hours, the high was gone. And now, going to see Ma, even just last September, coming home, it's the high, I can maintain that high much, much, much longer. And so me going into that high vibration with Simon and coming home, I'm completely supported. Like the vortex that we've created with the technology supports me staying in that higher vibration.
Yes, and we'll, I think everyone, thank you for sharing that, because I think all of us have noticed that as one of the dominant features is why do we seek out teachers who carry a consistently high vibration, and the reason is to raise our vibration, of course. But then we've all experienced the falling off the cliff when you return to daily life syndrome, probably hundreds and many, probably thousands of times. And that's the biggest, in some ways, insight. When Theta Love was born last spring and summer, that when I realized that in many ways the ashrams and the events were really mnemonic devices to put us into the theta states, and that the problem with most of the students is that most of us, that we can't hold the vibration. And especially in the West, where our lives are so high-paced and so there's so much pulling on us in the information age, it's difficult to even maintain sanity, never mind the theta state, right? Just to maintain our clarity. Forget about theta states. We're barely like functioning half the time. So that's a key aspect of the technology, is that in time, the vortex that's created is actually imprinted and instilled not only on every cell within your body, which is supported with the drinking of the water, but also in your energy field. So you become, you eventually are permanently imbued. And your time of being out of that, the transitional time, is less and less. And I would say that's, you know, from our own experiment and observation, that's where the planet really needs to go. Because in that, what John was talking about, the frustration, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, John, but would you say that you're aware what that frustration is about on planet Earth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, for me, the frustration is not being able to express myself the way that is my true design. And to be able to walk into a world that supports my expression of love, my expression of peace, my expression of joy. And, you know, the frustration comes from the fact that it's almost the complete opposite, where you walk into the world with a willingness to express those higher vibrational frequencies, but you know, it's you're basically being attacked at, you know, at every point. And then, you know, then it becomes a question of, okay, so how do I try to maintain some level of, you know, try to maintain my frequency, you know, surrounded in the denser frequencies. So the technology has been a tremendous support for that, because like Jules was alluding to, you know, the vortex we've created here, it's almost like a recharge before you go out, and your battery's always full when you walk out the door. So that's,
yeah, it never gets as low, and then when you know you can return to that. But I do want to point out that you said, you know, not being able to live according to your design, which is one of the reasons why we're going to focus on the focus cube as well soon, because it's very important for the children. the new focus and peak performance, but also that you're not living in a world of love. And this is our point exactly. Theta Love was created, and our research team, many of them subtle energies, said that maybe we would want to call it baby steps to love. And this is the great tragedy of living on planet Earth right now, is that there is an inadequate love quotient or love IQ. And because of that, the actual living being of the Earth is suffering. And there are only a few outcomes without a massive quantum shift in consciousness. And so when we hear John saying that, and you go inside and reflect on what he's saying, his voice is very important, because that particularly is the voice of all of the beings that are being born now. It's very, very important to get this part, that the beings that are coming in right now came here. We all came to experience love, and then we got off track in all kinds of, you know, our parents kind of rerouted us to different tracks, let's say, or attempted to. Most of us kept on diverting away from what they were suggesting, but that's why we're here now. But the truth is, and I'm putting a call out here to the parents for the children, that, you know, that these technologies are here as much for us as the children that come in, so that they won't go to sleep, and that they will live in love, and that they will have the safety that's created. Because with Scalar, it's not only the accelerated vibration that brings us into higher and higher states, like we're going to higher and higher octaves as a group, that become the foundation of our being and our community, but it's also that the children need a feeling of safety. And I mean whether your child was born yesterday or is 90 years old, anyone on the planet, in other words, that, but particularly your own children, they actually truly need these frequencies. So it's a very high calling that we have, that we are intuitive enough to grasp this very subtle divine science and apply it in our lifetime. And also the investment isn't just for us, it is to be passed down to the children. And with that, I'm putting out a plea for the children, as you see, and that I think everyone's heart is crying for a world that's made of love and people with open hearts. And that's what we're offering with our technology, and it is a shortcut. So there's nothing quite like it on the planet. That is definitely true. I would you say that, John and Jules? There's nothing quite. There are other things, but there's nothing quite in this genre.
Yeah, I mean, nothing that I've experienced.
Same, yeah. It's in a class by itself, and that's why they say it's ahead of its time. So, and I also wanted to ask you, if you don't mind sharing, about the children, because we are, you know, attempting to study the children and how they're doing and make changes as necessary. But we spoke a little bit, if it's not, about Julian and Elizabeth, and I think it's important for people to hear what you've observed.
Julian is doing great. So we have the Theta Love, and then Julian has the Focus Cube in his bedroom. And he is just thriving in all ways. He's a great student. And his dad and I joke because I don't remember being a great student. I mean, I remember
you were having fun.
Yeah, I had to stay after school to, you know, practice reading and math and everything. So Julian, he's really, really bright, and I don't have to push him to do his homework. He gets his homework done. He's studious. He has friends. He's very social. He does his sports. He's just involved with, and he wants to be involved with just so many things. He's very active, but he keeps himself occupied, and it's been really nice. It's fun watching him unfold.
And that ease of studying and learning, the same thing that I've noticed with my son Michael, the gratitude as they become older, and that's why we're calling it now the unfair advantage, the gratitude, like Mike called yesterday and he said, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without all of these assists, we'll put it in athletic terminology. But so it's the gratitude they feel towards you makes you feel so fabulous then in the end that they, when they finally, they do actually realize, you know, because it is every parent's true desire to help. And yet, you know, with all the ADD and ADHD and all the different learning disabilities on the planet right now, to give the child the gift of perhaps rewiring the neural circuitry, the consciousness is the better word, it is such a great gift, and it is the curriculum on the planet, but it is such a great gift to them, the greatest, because they'll find their own way then. They, you know, one came here to do this and the other came to do that, but when that system is rewired with that support and they feel safe, the child will naturally point us in the direction where they need to grow. And it was funny, Mike said he was a late bloomer yesterday, and I actually probably didn't really start to bloom until he got the focus cube. He was doing hockey and okay, but honestly, their energy is so different because they're rewired and they get their own direction and purpose inwardly. And then the entire dynamic in the family changes because there's no longer the struggle to make them study, the struggle to make them clean the room, the struggle to do, you know, whatever they don't want to do because they are naturally going to do it. And this is, I think, one of the greatest breakthroughs ever, that we can transform our relationships by putting a focus cube in our children's room, whether they're Julian's 9, Mike is 24. And so, and he's 1,000 miles away. But it's really, when you contemplate that, it's a huge leap. It really makes parenting, would you say it makes parenting easier?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's more fun. I mean, I just can say it's just more fun because I'm not stressed about him in school, because I for a while I was, and now I'm completely okay with him, and I know that he's going to be fine. He's going to be just fine. So,
and he'll find his own genius, and that's the great gift. And that is the part when it's reducing the parental stress. It's the load, you know, the homework and that. And they will. They have more than enough consciousness and brain capacity to do school. But when they're so dulled out by the environment and the energy, it really is a struggle for many children. So it is one of the greatest gifts to both to just have that support structure. And John, also you mentioned your daughter Elizabeth, who's 21, and she sounds like she's on to great, great strides in her life.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
she really is.
I'm going to be following her soon.
Yeah.
I'm going to be.
You know, Helena, I think that you'll be able to relate to this through your son. But I took a focus cube up to her. She lives in a house with a few other sorority sisters, and so she has the focus cube in her bedroom. And one of the things that she would experience her first 2 years in college was a tremendous amount of anxiety over grades, her peers. You know, she would get strep throat usually twice a year because of this anxiety that she would have. And once we put the focus cube up there this year, all of that stuff just seemed to kind of just melt away. And what's amazing is the fact that she doesn't have the anxiety anymore over her grades, and she makes great grades. She doesn't have the anxiety over her workload, and she's got probably twice the workload this year than she's ever had in her first 2 years. And her ability to focus in and stay focused on something that she wants to accomplish is amazing. And I mean, it really has. It's impacted her physical health. It's impacted her mental health. She has a confidence and a maturity and a focus on direction. I mean, it's amazing. It really is.
It's so subtle that sometimes we forget how much they've changed. Like last year I went through this period when Mike would call. I used to think, is that the same person or did I have another son? Because he would call and say, I'm on my way to the dentist and I'm going to go back and teach econometrics. So I would say, what? That just doesn't sound like the hockey jock, right? But and then all of a sudden I realized it's true. It's that cumulative impact. And partly with these young ones, you know, that are so young, there's a whole thing called neuronal pruning where the neurons start dying off. And I don't know, you know, that's a natural part of adolescence. But in this sense, the wiring is evident, the rewiring is evident in their behavior to us and the ease with which they embrace life. And I think also what I observe is that it encourages that yes, saying yes to life because they're more open. Key point here. And there are ups and downs to this. There are benefits. And the scalar is opening your energy field. So you're going to be more open to life. So when you that's a blessing and a curse, because when you go out and everybody's really bummed out, you're going to pick up more. So you must protect yourself and go back to your home, get centered again. But the children, and I guess we should be guiding the children about that as well, they would be more susceptible. If somebody is really sad, they're going to be more open energetically and feel safer with that. So we also need to teach them to come back into the environment, maybe consciously decharge that energy, just very simply, maybe just come into their room and do whatever they like to do, sit still, you know, draw, play chess, whatever they're, you know, do music. But this openness allows them, as, you know, Maha said as well, to say yes to life. So the opportunities become greater for them than perhaps if they were more defensive or more insecure. And as they're more open, their confidence in life and in themselves grows. And that's a side benefit. That's the, you know, the unfair advantage, the law of attraction. They're attracting greater things faster to themselves with less resistance in an acceleration during a time of great acceleration. So I believe that we'll start to see in our community children who are very gifted just because they had a focus cube. But will suddenly say, oh, my God, they're such geniuses. God, we must be smarter than we thought. But it's a natural outcome, and it just happens little by little. But it is about their energetic openness as well. So suddenly Elizabeth goes out, and she lands, as she said, a killer internship because she's wide open to it. She says she wants it. The scalar accelerates the manifestation, which is also one of its key benefits, and also think positively. And then her openness attracts it, and that's how it works. So anything else you want to tell us, John and Jules?
You know, Helena, I wanted to just thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak, because I really haven't been thinking about how the technology is affecting me and how everything is really unfolded so smoothly, and the support that I am getting from it. And because of our conversations, I'm really, I'm just in just a tremendous amount of gratitude and understanding more and more exactly the impact it's having. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for taking this risk into the unknown with an open heart and going through the moments of discomfort as well. That's a very courageous thing. And that not everyone can do that. Not everyone has that ability to go into the unknown and also to trust something so subtle. But I think as we will see, I do believe that more and more, you know, this will go to the children on the planet and the parents, and it will really help on those levels, and it will help through generations. But we are all the real early adopters, and that takes a tremendous amount of faith and trust. So we thank you, and both of you and your family. And I think these conversations are important for exactly that reason. We all kind of take it for granted until we look and say, that isn't the same boy, you know, my own son. He's not the same child. He's not the same young man. His outlook is completely different. And they become amazing leaders, I would like to add as well. We all become amazing leaders because you're carrying a signature frequency that the world needs. And more people will be drawn to you to seek out that frequency, no matter what you're doing, whether... And John and Jules are physical trainers and have been in the fitness industry for 10 years. And that can transform, as we know. So, Robert, so thank you, thank you, thank you.